and bless us in his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 13, found on page 656 of the Book of Common Prayer. We will read it responsibly. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness.
In your great compassion, blot out my offenses.
Wash me through and through from my wickedness.
And cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions.
And my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned.
And done what is evil in your sight.
And so you are justified when you speak.
And upright in your judgment.
Indeed, I have been wicked from my birth.
A sinner from my mother's womb.
For behold, you look for truth deep within me.
And when you make me understand this secretly.
Purge me from my sin, and I shall be pure.
Wash me, and I shall be clean indeed.
Make me hear of joy and gladness.
That the body you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew my spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Give me the joy of your saving help again.
And sustain me with your bountiful spirit.
Thank you. Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." They said to him, "What signs are you going to give us so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Everyone would go up to their roofs, and they would stand on the rooftop waiting for some kind of a breeze to blow. So David is on his rooftop, and because his house is the highest in all of Jerusalem, from his rooftop he can look out and see everything. So one evening he's there trying to catch a breeze, and he looks out and he sees a beautiful woman bathing. Her name is Bathsheba, and I always thought that was funny. Bathsheba. She, you take the bath. It's the time of the month that she's there bathing on her rooftop, and she was the son of a high man in the military, the wife of a high man in the military. Someone else would have been pretty high up. So she thought she was safe from view, but she wasn't. And David sees her, and he wants her. One of the Ten Commandments is this: thou shalt not covet. It comes right alongside, thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not commit murder. Is that serious? But most of us do not understand what it means to covet. To covet doesn't mean to just want something. It's okay to drive by a store and want stuff. To covet is when you begin to massage that desire. When you begin to obsess about it. To relish it. To dwell on it. And then it begins to become who you are. To covet is to seek something that does not belong to you. Something that you do not need, and to begin to believe that your desire is you. So David is up there, and he sees the beautiful woman, Bathsheba, and he wants her. Okay. He could have just said, no, I've got enough wives. I don't need to take somebody else's wife. But he begins to have these kind of thoughts. I want her. I need her. If I don't have her, I'll go crazy. If I don't have her, I won't survive. So David moves from plain old desire to covetousness. And from that point, he begins to do really bad things. You see, to covet underlies many of the greatest sins of our humanity. We covet something that we steal. We covet our hatred enough to murder. We covet another person's spouse to have adultery. Coveting is underneath almost all of the great sins of the Ten Commandments. David covets and he takes her. He lies with her and commits adultery, and she becomes pregnant. Her husband's away in battle. So he brings her husband home, lying to him about some reason, thinking that he'll sleep with his wife, and that would explain the child, and it'll be all be over. But Uriah, her husband, is a very moral man, and there was a law that when you were in battle, you did not take comfort in your wife. When David learns that Uriah has been disciplined in a way that he was unable, then he basically murders the man by sending him into the front line of battle to guarantee that he'll be killed. So desire turns to covetousness, which turns to lying and adultery and murder. when you tell just a little fib, but then you have to tell another one because you told the first one. And then you can't remember who you told the first one because you have to tell a few more, right? And it keeps on growing. David ends up harming himself terribly and harming everyone that he loves. And he is so blind to his wrongdoing. He has identified with his desire so much that when the prophet comes to him and tells him a story about himself, he doesn't even recognize himself. And that is how the great king falls. I love being an American. I love this country. I love to watch the Olympics. When I see Gabby doing her gymnastics, I just cry and I cheer and I go nuts. I'm grateful to live here. But as a country, we as a people covet more than any other people in world history. Our entire culture is built upon desire. Every day you are bombarded by potential desires that companies want you to have. And they want those desires to become covetousness. They don't want you to just want a Big Mac. They want you to feel like you need a Big Mac. They don't want you to just invest your money in some retirement fund. They want you to think that if you don't do that, you're not going to survive retirement. They want you to have an urgency, a need. They want you to translate your wants into needs. And then they want you to become those needs. My hair dryer broke last week, and I thought, oh my Lord. I need a hair dryer! And then I thought, wait a minute. I like my hair dryer. I like the way it makes my hair look. But women live without hair dryers for most of world history. In fact, probably most of the women in the world don't own a hair dryer. So do I need one? No. Do I want one? Yeah. And let me make that clear. To want something and to go and buy something you don't really need is not covetousness. It's not great, but it's not a directly harmful thing to anyone. But it's when you begin to desire something that you should not have, that does not belong to you, or when your desire begins to harm you, or you begin to think that it is you, that it becomes covetousness. Like my aunt, who is in such debt that she cannot climb out of it and yet will not stop buying things off the shopping channel. Or an alcoholic who covets alcohol because he has to have it. We can covet lots of stuff, relationships, sex, more money. Some of us covet being right and having everyone agree with us. So we become obsessed with the religious right or the liberal left, and we start publishing and arguing because we want them to think like us, and we will not be satisfied until they think like us. And we spend our lives trying to prove ourselves right. Do you really want everybody to think like you? Do you think the world would really work well if they did? Or some of us love to covet being liked. That is a fabulous coveting. You can spend your entire life trying to please every single person, and it is totally impossible. You will die trying. This past week, I went to a Trappist monastery. It is a place where monks live in total silence. The only time that they speak is in their worship. And they worship five services a day. 4 in the morning, 7 in the morning, noon, 5, and 7:30 at night. It was rough. There were times when I wanted to scream or dance. I got mad at the monks because they insisted on getting up so darn early in the morning. I couldn't believe it. I had thoughts about rushing off to buy ice cream. You know, I'm such a party animal. And one night, I'll admit, I lay in my bed with my iPad and watch movie previews for an hour. But despite all the rough times, there was something that happened to me there. I didn't speak for 4 days. And in the silence, time began to expand. And I started to notice things. Like, one afternoon, I heard thunder. So I rushed out to the porch and I just sat there for an hour and watched a thunderstorm come in. It was better than the best movie. It was so beautiful. Or I spent half an hour watching this turtle swim in a pond because he was so incredibly made. I brought a few clothes, no hair dryer. There was very little between me and God, just my worries and my tempting laptop. And I realized that I was hungry for something very deep within me. Something very simple. Something that I touched at times with you in this place, but I wanted more. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am everything you have ever wanted or longed for. All of your desires, all of your needs, all of your wants are misdirected. All you need is me. I can fill you like nothing else. When you approach the altar and you receive the bread of life, ask God to take away everything that stands in between you and that bread. Ask God to feed you, to fill your every desire. Because if we could take our longing for more money and our longing for stuff and our longing for respect or to be right or to please people, if we could take all of that desire and redirect it to the bread of life, there is no telling what this cathedral would become. There are Bathshebas all over the place in this world. All kinds of things that are saying to you, if you have me, you'll be fed. Bathsheba is out there everywhere. There's only one bread and one cup for you to be fed. So come. Come and have the bread of life with me. Amen.
Amen. Let us stand and reaffirm our faith on page 358 in the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for all those who are sick, lonely, hungry, or in pain. Comfort them and give them strength. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, not as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us.
On you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. Thank you for making it out in the rain, you faithful soul. If you're new or visiting, we do have welcome bags at the back of the church. They also have tours for you, and we have a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. So I hope you'll let us know a little bit about who you are. Our organist choirmaster, Tim Tuller, has begun teaching a class in August, which is called Misfit Musicians. It's about the great composers and their wild and crazy lives. And it starts at 6 o'clock in Cummings Chapel on Wednesday evenings. You're welcome to join at any time and enjoy the class. I've heard it is just awesome. If you would like to, instead of eating another meal, serve a meal, tomorrow we are going to be feeding the homeless at the Solzbacher Homeless Shelter that a member of our church built right near here. We would love to have your help, so let us know. There's more information about it in the bulletin. We are also, thanks to Beth Wilson and a bunch of people, going to start our own vacation Bible school this summer. We're calling it Summer Fun Downtown, and it starts tomorrow. If you've not signed up yet, it's not too late. Beth Wilson will be in Tolliver Hall after the service. You can sign up, you can bring friends. We would love to have everyone come and participate. And if you're interested in becoming a service minister, or if you already are one, and that means an acolyte or a child's bearer, someone who reads, plan to attend one of the trainings that are noted in the bulletin. We're training everyone to make sure they understand what it is they do and why. And last but not least, we had a very faithful member of this parish who passed away, and some of you may have read about him in our e-eagle. His name was Bob Holmes, and he came here for many, many years. And for 40 years, every Monday, he would show up, and he would take the flowers that had been on the altar, and he would take them to the sick or to the elderly who were shut in and deliver them. For 40 years, very quietly, he did this. Well, Bob had no family, so we are his family, and I'm inviting all of you to remember and give thanks for his life this coming Friday at 3 o'clock. That's the 10th of August at 3 o'clock. So if you can come and join us celebrating Bob's life, we would love that.
Knocked it out of the park.
Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. When we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercies, Jesus Christ, and your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood in the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those in whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood.
We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread and one cup.
Eternal God,
Heavenly Father,
you have graciously accepted us
as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and sinless of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ be with you to defend you, within you to keep you, before you to lead you, beside you to guard you, and above you to bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.